And we continue on with Daniel Barter from the Wigner Institute, and he will tell us about radial and non-radial oscillations of compact stars.
Let's see that if we can hear me. All right. So thank you very much for having me, and I'm happy for the opportunity to present our my latest work on compact star oscillations. I'm working closely with Balázs Kacskovics and Mátyás Vasút, who are also part of the Hungarian branch of the Virgo collaboration, and we mostly focus on problems related to gravitational waves, but compact star models are something that we are working on lately. So I will tell a little bit about the sources of neutron star oscillations, equilibrium star models, and I present the results of my first two papers on radial oscillation, then as being a demonstrative tool, we can continue on the non-radial perturbations, which can be a source for thank you very much for the technical instructions for the gravitational radiation. I was looking at all right. Thank you very much. Supernova explosions can trigger different kind of oscillation modes, as well as star quakes and accretion, but most importantly, tidal oscillations, tidal forces in binary mergers can be used to produce continuous waves, which is very important. F mode oscillations, so fundamental mode and pressure driven modes, are the lowest frequency oscillation that can be also useful. And the Einstein telescope, probably because they are in the range of a few thousand hertz, so a few kilohertz, they could be observed theoretically with the Einstein telescope. So basically, we can categorize these oscillations into two categories: the continuous emissions that are, for example, can be observed when there is a non-axisymmetric mass quadrupole, tiny distortion from the spherical symmetry, and it is a candidate for continuous signals. And also we can probably see burst emissions that are ideal for multi-messenger physics, so basically pulsar glitches and magnetar flares that can be observed through electromagnetic radiation might have an imprint on gravitational waves as well. So by using the Einstein's field equations and the conservations of energy momentum, we can derive the structure equations for the equilibrium configuration. We can either solve these well-known three structure equations, or use more sophisticated methods like the Lorraine code, which uses a 3+1 formalism to foliate the space-time along a different foliation. And with the boundary condition and closing the equations with certain equations of state, we can predict the mass, for example, the mass radius relation, which is, for example, here we considered various some nucleonic and hybrid nucleonic hyperonic quark equation of states. Those are the ones that the stiffer equation of states, and we know from gravitational wave observations and Pazer observations some constraints on possible equation of states. And basically, if we consider the simplest case, the linear adiabatic radial oscillations, then it is the simplest because basically only one component of the Lagrangian displacement vector field have to be considered, and a sort of position equation can be derived by using the linear perturbations and expressing all perturbations like the energy density and perturbation of the pressure through this Lagrangian displacement, and basically it will present as a Sturm-Liouville eigenvalue problem that can be used by either direct integration or shooting method that I used, and there are certain rules for the eigenvalues that are associated with the normal frequencies or quasi-normal frequencies of the oscillation. So if any eigenvalue is negative, then it is related to a complex frequency that tell us about the damped solutions. So normally for stable stars, all eigenfrequencies are positive. We can see, for example, I consider the first three lowest, the fundamental mode and the first two P mode, so pressure-driven modes of oscillations, that if we go beyond the largest mass largest mass stable equilibrium configuration, then these different unstable modes can be ignited by these perturbations. Here are some examples for different equation of states, how the fundamental and the first two excited modes evolve as we present them in terms of central energy density. And we can see that basically three rules can be deduced from these results, that the decay of the lowest frequency eigenmode always shows that it drops to zero for any stellar model when it approaches the dynamical stability limit. And we can see for the MPA1 and basically IPR1 is a nucleonic equation of state, and a somewhat less stiffer one is the MS1, that it is dropped to less than 5% of the first excited mode at the central energy density associated with this maximal mass configuration. And another feature is that the oscillation of frequency modes is always larger than those of the lower modes. Stellar models of softer equations of state generally have higher frequencies for the lowest frequencies than stiffer ones, at the considering them at the same central density. So, using a somewhat similar method, but for non-radial fluid displacements, once again consider the perturbed Einstein's equations and the conservations of energy density, and here we can use not a radial perturbation, but we can separate polar and axial part, the velocity. And this way, not one xi displacement, but three functions of displacement have to be introduced. But otherwise, and we can express everything through the spherical harmonic functions, but basically the technique is the same. And if we consider general non-stationary asymmetric space-time, then for the two parity, once again two type of perturbation can be associated with this. The polar perturbation for even parity, and it gives small increments to the metric functions. And for the axial perturbations that is associated with odd parities, for this L in the L index in the spherical harmonics, it basically induces frame dragging, and basically it is associated with omega Q2 Q3. So basically, it is interesting for studying rotation, but not deviations from the spherical form. So for this reason, we will study the polar mode. An interesting case that in non-rotating star, the polar and axial perturbations remain completely separate. However, for the G mode, for example, they couple. Basically, the anti-theory of non-radial oscillations consists the study of the equation of motions through the metric functions and the Lagrangian displacement that are in general set of certain functions, but due to symmetry for the even parity, we only have to consider three non-zero parameters, three non-zero Lagrangian displacement, and the H0K and H1 functions for the perturbations. And we can see that, as I mentioned before, the odd parity is associated with rotation. And therefore, because of the pressure or matter density or energy density are have to be perturbed in order to create gravitational waves. It is not the case for odd parity, and there is an expression that we can use to express the metric tensor in these terms. And basically, a set of three ordinary differential equations have to be solved simultaneously together with the with an other equation with an algebraic relation, either X or H null can be expressed by an analog equation of state, but this is more worthwhile. And basically, if we solve these equations inside the star and outside the star and match them together at the surface, we can compose both the metric functions from them, and also the equations of motions can be solved. Right now we are working on this part, and this work was done in collaboration originally with Kostas Kokottas, who helped me to study the shooting method to find the quasi-normal modes for radial oscillations, and a similar method can be used here as well. We are using Lorraine instead of directly solving the structure equations, which allows us to use several realistic equations of state imported from the compose depository. And basically, the study of both rotating stars and non-radial oscillations is part of a larger cooperation in the Wigner Research Center. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. There's still time for one or two questions or comments, if there are any. This doesn't seem to be the case, so let's thank the speaker again.
Thank you.